2.5 weeks of Donald Trump's presidency, many Americans are saying that they have an increase in stress levels, insomnia, general discontentment. We are going to talk with a guest this hour about what is being dubbed Trump trauma. And welcome your questions and your own experiences. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. And we wonder if you are stressed out by all the political news of late. Is your head reeling from the constant state of change? Are you feeling stressed, upset, fearful? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And while this is something that has been dubbed Trump trauma by those critics of Donald Trump, there could be some supporters of Donald Trump who are also feeling upset with the constant protesting and divisiveness and ugliness that we see between or among the different political sides. So what's your experience? What's your question? What are you feeling these days? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Heidi Hanna. She is the executive director of the American Institute of Stress. She is the author of Stressaholic: 5 Steps to Transform Your Relationship with Stress. She was recently quoted in a Yahoo News article titled, "People Are Suffering from Trump Trauma. Here's Why and What to Do About It." We have posted that article on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
I know you didn't exactly name this affliction, but can you give us an idea what Trump trauma is all about?
Sure. Yeah, I definitely did not come up with a name. I'm not sure that I would have, to be honest with you. I know we'll talk a little bit about that. But I think, you know, media always really enjoys finding something catchy and certainly tapping into the emotional centers of the brain to get us to pay attention. And there's different ways to do that. We do that, unfortunately, most often through negative news, and we trigger the safety mechanism in the brain that wants us to pay attention to anything that might be threatening to us. So I think, you know, it's in some ways, hopefully, a little splash of humor with that and thinking about this idea and almost over-magnetizing it. But unfortunately, a lot of people are experiencing trauma, and I've noticed people in my own life who typically are incredibly resilient are struggling now, and I think a big piece of that struggle is what you've been talking about, in fact, the previous hour, around this idea of control, that when we feel out of control, especially when we have no idea what the change is going to be, you know, we deal with change every day, but it's the uncertainty around change and the feeling that we're out of control that really magnifies the stress. And for some people, they do feel traumatized by it because it's happening so quickly that they're really not able to adapt in an effective way.
Yeah, this Trump trauma became sort of a hashtag that started being shared when it came to how people were feeling, and especially those who I guess were feeling out of control and helpless. But talk some about the symptoms of those who are suffering from Trump trauma.
Sure. It's interesting. You can see this manifest in a lot of different ways. So everyone experiences stress differently. And in this case, because it's so magnified, you can kind of see both sides of the spectrum here. And what I mean by that is, on one hand, you have people who are feeling so stressed that they just want to completely deny that anything's happening. So they're kind of shutting down. They're not watching the news. They're just, in some ways, isolating themselves and trying to protect themselves from what's going on. And this can actually be just as harmful, because we know social connection is one of the most important things about managing stress effectively. Interestingly enough, the use of the hashtag has become a bit of a social bonding element. So mm-hmm. In some ways, it's, you know, we're experiencing this and we're the collective and there's social support in that. At the same time, that can magnify the other side of the spectrum, which is becoming essentially addicted to what's going on. I was talking to a good friend of mine just a few days ago, and he is very informed, and he's watching constantly, and he's finding himself feeling so pulled to that it is like an addiction. And we know that stress acts like an addiction in the brain. It triggers a lot of the same chemical release that we experience when we have other addictive substances. But then when you add the element of fear and uncertainty, and then you add this element of social bonding, now what you find is people almost starting to identify with this side of the political spectrum, either side. So either they're over-identifying with being a Trump supporter, so much so that they feel the need to constantly be in a battle around that, mm-hmm. and that becomes their tribe. Or you've got people who feel victimized potentially and really wanting to use the hashtag Trump trauma to say, hey, I'm dealing with this, who else is dealing with this, and what are we going to do about it?
Well, yeah, and then those of us who try to remain neutral and talk yeah. about these things, we're seeing, you know, you see this even no matter what side you're on or if you're in the middle, you're seeing this arguing and hateful rhetoric and
it affects us too, yeah. even the neutral people, right? So yeah. we're in the middle of saying, hey, I see both sides. I understand what you're fighting for, and I understand what you're fighting for. And even without a political stronghold on something, in some ways, we can also experience some sense of trauma. And so I think it's important to look at what are the factors that are contributing to that sense of feeling out of control. How can we set some healthy boundaries around that? And essentially ask the question, you know, how much information do we individually need to feel safe and to feel informed without crossing that line of getting into that addictive nature where it starts to take over and actually negatively impact a healthy lifestyle and a productive lifestyle and a feeling of being able to take some personal action.
Yeah. Well, you know, I saw, you know how cats can get kind of puffy and the hair stands up on
oh,
their
yeah.
back when they're angry or fearful? I saw this cartoon the other day, and I had to post it because it was a puffy cat looking at his iPhone, and the other cat, a normal sized cat, saying, "Stop looking at the news. You're getting all puffy."
That's all. I have to find that. Well, and you bring up a great example. So I'm part of a group called the Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor. We actually study the impact of humor on the brain, and of course, we want to be careful with how we use humor. We don't want to use it to hurt other people, and we don't want to, you know, minimize things that are important. But there's a way to balance the brain chemistry, and that's one of the important pieces is, yes, there's a lot of things that are feeling out of control. However, there's still a lot of really good things happening in the world. And so not to ignore the negative, but can we be more playful? Can we experience some humor? Can we have social bonding that's happening through positive as opposed to through some of this negative social bonding that's happening?
Well, that's very interesting, how you're working with humor that way. And we'll have to talk more about that some other time, perhaps,
yeah.
but
yeah.
or maybe a little bit more later on. But the other thought I wanted to have you weigh in on was, you know, there are people who want to still stay abreast of important current issues, but I think you're advising that maybe we can still be in touch with news issues that are important, but not obsessed 24/7 with them.
Absolutely. So I think recognizing that there's this addictive quality to it is a good first step. So realize that you're normal to feel drawn to this. And media, I love media. Media does a great job, however, of keeping us glued to thinking something new is coming when it does get very repetitive. And so setting healthy boundaries around that, knowing your sources, trying to find sources of news that feel like the healthiest option for you. So it doesn't have to be always, you know, exactly in line with your perspective. We want to have a variety of perspectives, but find those sources that you feel comfortable with and set some boundaries around how much time you want to plug in. And then that other piece is, how do you balance it by also filling your brain with some positivity? So take the negative, take the challenging, take the, you know, the chaos, and embrace it for what it is, and then give yourself a healthy dose of the other elements that are important to you.
So Linda on Facebook says that she is indeed experiencing some emotional turmoil these days. She says she is feeling sad and fearful, and she says she is getting or having recurrent dreams that she hasn't had since she was very young during the age of nuclear conflagration. I think she means like during the, you know, the Cold War. She was frightened, and that's how she's feeling again right now. What general advice do you have for someone like Linda?
Yeah, Linda, I appreciate those comments, and I want to share a couple of thoughts around this. The first one is, if you have experienced trauma in your life, and by the way, most of us have, there's two different types of trauma. One is kind of the immediate thing that we think of in, for example, combat stress, someone who's in the military and they're experiencing a short-term, really extreme circumstance. That's one form. And then we also have developmental trauma that happens usually earlier on in childhood. Both of those really imprint in the brain, and you can see structural changes and functional changes. And you know, we get back to our life, we build some resilience back, but those, it's almost like there's scars there in the brain that are still existing. And so when we go into a new experience where some of those same circumstances exist, they may not be as extreme, but they're still getting to the root cause of trauma, which is that feeling of being out of control. And so you're feeling out of control, change is happening. That is going to, in some ways, stir up some of those old scars that are there. And awareness of that and appreciation of that is the first step. That's normal. It's healthy. Your brain is trying to protect you by bringing this to surface and saying, remember when we experienced this? Remember what that was like? And so it's protective in nature. That's a positive thing. Now, what do you do about it? So the three steps I refer to are awareness, appreciation, and adjustment. So you're aware of what's happening. You appreciate that your brain, your body's trying to protect you. And then what are the adjustments that can be made in that situation? So she brings up two things, sad and fearful, two very different emotional experiences in the brain. A lot of the sadness I think people are feeling right now is also exhaustion. We have to realize that going through an intense election and going through so much change, not just with politics, but everything else that's happening in our world, that requires a lot of energy. So sadness can come sometimes just from being tired, and appreciate that with yourself. Appreciate the need for rest and sleep, but also good nutrition and, you know, taking care of ourselves, getting a massage, going for walks outside, all of those healthy investments we make in ourselves. The other one is fearful. So while sadness is a low-energy negative emotion, fear is a high-energy negative emotion. And we want to look for outlets for that allow us to express that. The fight-flight response is meant to be expressed through some sort of action. So physical activity is one of the most important. We know radically changes brain chemistry. So even if you're just going for a walk, you can go for a walk in nature even better, because nature's been shown to help us recalibrate our nervous system. And especially with those dreams that are coming up, if you're in a fearful state before you go to bed, you've got, you know, stress hormones in your brain that are continuing to fluctuate and trigger some of those old memories or fearful thoughts. So having a practice throughout the day that helps you to better oscillate between high and low energy. And what I mean by that, again, high energy being creative, being activity, connecting with friends, and then low energy relaxation, reading something inspirational, listening to soothing music. And then before bed, really trying to have, I would suggest, an hour-long process where you start to unwind, calm yourself down, definitely stay away from news. But again, read something inspirational, listen to some music, listen to something funny if you can, do some gentle stretching or some other relaxation practices. Those are really important to start to wind down our brain to be able to sleep more effectively. And then if you are still having dreams, my other last point on this would be to, again, go back to that awareness, appreciation, adjustment, and be aware of your dreams, be aware of what they're trying to tell you. Appreciate yourself for that, the lesson that your brain essentially is trying to teach you through this. And if you're grateful for that, it's amazing what can happen. A lot of times the dreams will subside. When we fight that, or when we become fearful about, oh, the dreams are coming back, that's when we tend to get into that vicious cycle.
We will take more calls for our guest, Heidi Hanna, Executive Director of the American Institute of Stress. She is the author of Stressaholic, 5 Steps to Transform Your Relationship with Stress. She was recently quoted in a piece that we noticed on what is being dubbed Trump trauma. People who suffer from high stress or negative emotions like fear and anxiety and sadness, talking about what we can do about this why this is happening, and welcoming your own questions and experiences at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network. Are you stressed out? How has the fast change of policies affected you during the 2.5 weeks now since President Donald Trump assumed office? We are talking with a guest about what has been a trending hashtag Trump trauma, talking about what this is and what can be done about it. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Heidi Hanna is our guest. She is the executive director of the American Stress Institute, author of the book Stressaholic. And our next caller is Fran in Delafield. Hi, Fran.
Hi. Well, I call it TID, Trump-induced depression. I personally feel the best way to limit the effects is to stay informed and take personal action. Write your legislator, join a protest, sign a petition, and vote. There is an election for state superintendent of schools, February 21st. Tony Evers is running against 2 very conservative candidates. I do disagree with your guest, Ms. Hanna, when she says, fine, just make yourself dealing with depression if somebody's died, you're going through a divorce, things you can't really control. Yes, you know, I agree with all of the sorts of
I'm not sure, Fran, that you have to debate our guest over this. I mean, let me just bring in Heidi Hanna. Yeah, react to Fran's what she wants to do is to vote and to be involved and to try to and to protest.
So let me touch on that. And Fran, I was actually eager to hear your comments because I appreciate what you're saying, and I actually would like to hear a little bit more. Your opinion on this. So let me first say I am totally on your side here with doing something active, taking action. So that's actually one of the most important things is to find your personal control. So the 3 things that impact how we respond to stress are going to be control, capacity, and community. So control is where is your personal control? And you're right. In this case, there are things you can do. Write letters, if protest is peacefully, please, peaceful protest. But share your voice. Make your voice be heard absolutely 100%. Capacity is essentially just making sure you have the capacity to deal with the challenges, so getting good sleep, good nutrition, all those sorts of things. And then community. So reach out to your community, bond with your community, and you are doing those things. So I agree with you there. My curiosity was about the depression piece because I also want to make sure that, we're not glossing over things here by saying, oh, just don't worry, be happy, laugh it off. This is serious stuff. And essentially what we're trying to empower people with is where can you take control and do it in a healthy way? And how do we not over-identify with a hashtag or even a negative perspective that essentially is fear-based and will block our own brain's ability to be creative? And this is really important. Please do speak up and please do use those outlets. The challenge is that when we get too wound up and the negativity starts to come out, unfortunately, the brain of both parties react in a way that shuts down logical thinking. And so this is actually technically what happens in trauma is the emotional center of the brain is hyperactive, the logical center of the brain is underactive, and so we unfortunately react instead of respond. And what we want to be able to do is hear each other's points and have conversation that takes us to a place to collaborate together. And, you know, that kind of feels like a stretch nowadays because we're becoming so divisive, but I still think it's possible. And that's where I take my personal control is I have to believe it's possible. So I still want to continue to have this conversation. So if there are comments, Fran, on the depression piece that you're getting into as well, whether it's on the call or via Facebook, I'd love to continue to have that conversation.
And let me, and I didn't mean to interrupt, but I didn't think that necessarily Fran and Heidi were, that Heidi, you would disagree with Fran's, wanting to be active and stay informed and vote and such. Fran, did you want to follow up?
Well, I very much appreciate Ms. Hannah's response because I think that I agree with her now totally. It, you know, we need to take care of our physical and emotional health, but we also need to realize that this particular depression is due to something that we can influence, unlike our pet dies or, you know, a loved one dies. But this is something political, and people need to take this depression and move forward with it to take some action. Nonviolent vote, especially, is so important. Write those letters. It makes a difference. Show up at peaceful, you know, protests, and do stay informed. Yes, it's hard to keep reading all of this, but I think it's more important than ever to stay informed. And if you become active, if you try and write a letter, that goes a long way to alleviating that depression. Does it eliminate the depression and fear? No. But at least to try and promote some change.
Absolutely, and I agree. And let me just add two other pieces on that that I want to encourage everybody with. Number one is the word used was influence, and I love that. If we can focus on our ability to influence the world around us, that's where we can take action and personal control. And at the same time, there are always things outside of our control. That's just life. So I'm not saying that I think that what we want to be careful about is the franticness of it or getting so wrapped up in it that we lose our identity of the other things that are important to us. So I love focusing on influence. What can you do to influence? How do you take personal control? How do you act? How do you make sure your voice is heard? All of those things are actually going to minimize the negative effects of stress and help you to feel more empowered. The other thing you mentioned is informed. And I think being informed is important. Everybody is different on how much information is going to be healthy for them, and your circumstances are different. So, for example, if your need to be informed starts to negatively impact your life in some way, that's where we look at it potentially becoming more addictive. Do you need that much information to be informed? And again, I'm not making any judgment on anybody's need to be informed. I just want to say, for you, figure out what works for you and try to stay true to that, because my guess is that there are other elements of your life that you want to be spending time, energy, and attention on as well. And so if those start to compromise, is that a compromise you are okay with? And ultimately, that's everybody's decision to make for themselves.
Let's take another call. Thank you very much, Fran. Gary in Merrill is with us. Hi, Gary. Gary, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I think that a lot of your shows, you're forgetting about what I think is the majority of the people of this country that have Trump euphoria, that are happy as can be, that finally, after 24 years of presidents and Congress going against their own country, we have a president that stands up and says, we're going to have free trade. Things are going to work out in this country. We're going to bring jobs back for everybody. And we're going to make being American a good thing to be.
Yeah, thank you for adding that perspective, Gary. There are some Facebook comments, too, saying, hey, I'm happy. Hey, I'm optimistic. I'm not suffering from any kind of so-called Trump trauma. So there's that, Heidi.
Absolutely. And I'm, I jokingly say I'm in an inner political relationship myself. So we have those conversations, and as much as I stay neutral, I love to hear both sides. I like to focus on the elements of positivity that may exist in something that, you know, the majority of people around me are sharing all of the other sides of the spectrum. So I think it's also helpful. Gary, I love what you said about Trump euphoria. That's funny. I think it's also helpful for awareness, however, just for all of us to try to understand where people are coming from. You know, I think that appreciation of each other's perspective is helpful. It'll help us to have more effective communication and conversations with each other and just kind of help everybody collectively to be processing all of this more effectively. But, yeah, I think that brings up a really good point. And so it's helpful to focus on some of those positives as well.
Yeah. There's also on Facebook, though, a little bit of, and not necessarily just for this hour, but a little bit of those with Trump euphoria saying things like, hey, a snowflake, hey, you know, buck up, you know, go get your comfort animal and things like that. I mean, that's that's not helpful either, is it?
Right. And I think that's where sometimes we got to keep an eye on the humor element, the teasing element, the minimizing element. I don't think that's helpful. I think in some ways it's that type of attitude that just it triggers more fear and more frustration in those who want to be heard. Mm-hmm. I think the best thing that we can do is really just try to listen to each other. It doesn't mean you have to change your mind, but just be willing to listen, be willing to appreciate and hear other people, and you know, try to work together. I think that's important.
1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you'd like to talk about how you are feeling, how are your emotions being affected by the first 2.5 weeks of the Donald Trump presidency. Some critics of Donald Trump and his policies say they are suffering from Trump trauma, you know, increased stress and insomnia and a general feeling of discontentment. We just heard from a caller who isn't feeling that way. He's feeling just fine, thank you, as he supports what Donald Trump is doing. But there's a lot of divisiveness, a lot of protests, a lot of change and confusion and chaos. So how's it affecting you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Bruce in Viroqua is with us. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for calling, for having my call.
Well, thanks for calling. What is your point?
Well, I am a father. I have another one on the way, and I can't help but worry about the future. I think, yeah, maybe I do have too much information or, you know, too informed at times. But when you have somebody like Pruitt, head in the EPA, who is just a climate change denier, it's hard to not be worried about things. And particularly like the whole alternative facts thing, I find it hard to not get worried and anxiety about that.
Yeah.
Where I feel like it's a tool called perception management that people use for a long time to just kind of blur the lines between fact and fiction to the point where people just throw their hands up in the air and be like, well, you can't trust anybody nowadays, so they just let their agenda continue.
Yeah. It is that, I guess that is something we talk a lot about on Wisconsin Public Radio, the whole you know, fake news and alternative facts, and our responsibility as a news outlet to try to fact check. But boy, it's hard to keep up with all that as well. And I suppose if you're just observing this as a news consumer, Heidi, that would be you'd have a little bit of a feeling of helplessness too.
Sure, and the caller brings up a really important point. It's interesting, but the people in my life personally who are experiencing the most stress are those with children. And so this has become a topic of conversation, is what is the world we're living in, or, you know, how do we explain this? I know early on there was a lot of talk about things like bullying, that there were people perceiving some of the, you know, the race, the political race initially, felt a lot like bullying. And then to be rewarding those who seem to do the bullying goes against what we're trying to teach our kids about how to have healthy debate and conversation and do so in a respectful way. So I understand that. And I think the important thing to think about here as parents or as teachers or, you know, helping professionals or whatever it is be aware of that, absolutely. But also think about how do we then focus on building resilience? What do you want to bring into the environment? So if we know that there is this negative, chaotic uncertainty happening around us, how do we best prepare our children to deal with that? What are the lessons in this? In fact, when you can take a stressful or even traumatizing situation and find meaning and purpose in it, everything changes. Physiologically, everything changes. You produce a different set of stress hormones that actually are designed to build you up instead of break you down. And so this is dramatic. This is going back to Viktor Frankl's work in the book Man's Search for Meaning and, you know, so much of what we hear. In fact, most people, when you experience a great amount of growth, when you look back and you are proud of yourself, most of the time that came with a lot of stress to get you there. And so with our kids, I think, you know, depending on their age, obviously, it's important to start having those conversations about challenges and change and how do we have a growth mindset. Carol Dweck, an amazing researcher and psychologist, wrote a book called Mindset. She's doing some incredible peace work in the Middle East and throughout. And just this notion that if we see the world and we see ourselves as being fixed, then, you know, it's either we're winning or we're not winning. When we see it as a growth perspective, that there's a lesson in this that we can learn, that we can build upon it, and having those conversations with kids. What do we do when things don't go our way? How do we handle that? And talking about it, one of the worst things we do with our kids is we pretend like nothing's wrong. So when we say, oh, everything's fine, they pick up on a very subtle energy of stress. And in fact, we know stress is very contagious, especially from parent to child. So in some ways, you're doing a disservice by saying, hey, everything's fine, don't worry about it, because they feel like something's off. And then they'll struggle their whole life with, well, I feel like something's off, but everyone's saying it's fine. That uncertainty can be really actually traumatizing. Best thing we can do is have the honest communication within reason, put it in a way that kids can understand, and encourage them the same way, the same types of things I'm encouraging you to do, which is how can you take action, giving kids some responsibility, encouraging them to serve others. Lots of studies have shown that even kids can really benefit from acts of service, getting involved in the community. And then social support. How do we stick together? How do we support each other? And can we be honest when we're not happy with the way things are going? It's actually better to express that than look for a way to bounce back than to bottle all of that up inside and end up feeling depressed or anxious.
Heidi Hanna is the author of Stressaholic, 5 Steps to Transform Your Relationship with Stress. She is the executive director of the American Institute of Stress. She was interviewed for a recent piece that was titled, People Are Suffering from Trump Trauma. Here's Why and What to Do About It. And that's what we're talking about. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about stress and our emotions during the first 2.5 weeks of the Trump presidency. And we're welcoming your questions for our guest expert and your own experiences. Are you suffering from what some call or have dubbed Trump trauma? We are talking about how we are feeling and how we are stressed out, how some of us are losing sleep, how some of us are sad and fearful. And we're wondering if that describes you. What do you do about it? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our next caller is Josh in Eau Claire. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, what
I just had a quick comment when you were talking about, you know, children and how they're feeling, can feel anxious and fear about some of this stuff. And it just made me think the day after the election, dropping my kids off at school, you know, I stopped the car and I looked at them and I said, I just want you guys to know, do not let anybody make you feel afraid, scared, or fear of any kind today. I said, we have a government with 3 branches. There's checks and balances. There is no dictator. You know, we are all here in this government and the people that are elected are from us. We all do that. And I tell them about how we go out and we volunteer in the community, and those are the actions that really build the community right there and that. But I was very adamant with them. I said, do not let people spread their fear onto you. You know, we live in a country that safeguards are put in place.
So how about that strategy, Heidi?
I love it. I was just thinking, yes, I hope we're recording this so I can play it back to some people. I think that was really, really well handled. And, you know, I think it is important to give kids and give each other a sense of safety. I think essentially what's causing the chaos, again, a lot of it is based on fear. A lot of it is based on oversaturation of the information. It's just constant noise. And not feeling controlled, not feeling protected, and also the sensitivity to the suffering of others. So you bring up another really important point, which is, you know, take personal responsibility for how you're feeling. And so you're preparing them with a script in some way, the story that they can hold on to, you know, that someone I love and respect has my back. And so if I'm feeling this way, I need to acknowledge that's, you know, maybe coming from someone else's perspective and kind of let that go. I think setting healthy boundaries around our own energy is important. And I think people underestimate secondhand stress, as I like to refer to it. And the reality is we are sensitive creatures. And if we're caring and compassionate, we pick up stress from other people. We want to help other people. And we can do that by, you know, offering them some safety scripts, some reassurance that, you know, we're in this together and we're going to speak up and we're going to take some personal action. We're going to keep an eye on what's happening and we're going to surround ourselves with a community of people who want to make positive progress with this. So, yeah, I think that the way that you explain that with your kids and coming out and saying it too, being proactive about it, you know, not waiting for them to come home feeling overwhelmed or starting to see their grades slip or starting to see them acting out in other ways, but just proactively saying, hey, we're in a period of change and that's to be expected, but we're okay. We've got this. We're in this together. I think that's really beautiful.
Charlie in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I would say that I have, as a conservative, a level of stress due to the fact that there is a lot of obstructionism and name-calling, both at the start of the Trump administration as well as during the Obama administration. It works on both sides. And for a large part, I feel that there is no discussion or compromise, serious discussion of a policy that would relieve a lot of stress for people who think their government is doing a good job. Thank you very much.
Well, Charlie, just let me understand your... Well, he hung up. Well, that's what I said. I said that there could be people feeling that kind of stress,
yeah,
too, that they
absolutely.
They believe that the progress that they believe President Trump will bring is being hampered by resistance.
Yeah, and I think that goes to, again, if we magnify this too much, if we identify with a hashtag, if we bond over the negative, you know, we're all in this together and we don't really have any control, so we're just going to, you know, complain about it. That's not productive. And I think, you know, it's understandable that not only people that are happy about the outcome of the election, but those who are truly neutral and are saying, okay, here's what we have now, so let's work to make that the best that we can. It's very difficult to have rational, logical, positive conversations when emotions are so high. So I think it's important to consider that. Again, I don't want to minimize anybody needing to express their fear, their uncertainty, their frustration, all of that, their depression. I understand that completely. And people need to take the time and find the resources, even going to counseling, going and getting some EMDR treatment or, you know, taking care of yourself to build that back up and take the time you need and validate your own experience. And then let's have some conversations about how do we move this forward. And I think that's important. My hope has been that the hype around all of it will start to decrease a little bit. The challenge everybody has to keep in mind when it comes to most media outlets is that scary sells. And so when we activate the fear mechanism in the brain, we pay more attention and people are glued to the TV. It's selling more advertisements. It's just kind of the way it works out. We also know, however, that positivity and humor can also sell. We don't test it as much. In fact, a good friend of mine, Michelle Gielen, who's a news anchor for a long time in Chicago. She's now turned positive psychology researcher. She has a great book called Broadcasting Happiness, and she actually did a whole segment on the positive things that were happening in the community, and they got more feedback, you know, more positive comments. They actually saw some of the crime rates decrease. It was really amazing to see what happened. It's just that it's so different from what we're used to that in some ways people are almost afraid, well, if we talk about the positive too much, then we're going to, you know, make people angry because we're not really addressing their feelings. And I think, you know, we just want to be pretty, let's just be logical about this. Express the negative, absolutely, but be willing to also embrace what's positive, see the lesson in it, find meaning and purpose. And I'll tell you one more quick thing on this before I get off my soapbox. But that is, you know, I, in my speaking engagements, I talk about the fact my two biggest fears are public speaking and flying. And yet I found myself doing them both for 10 years. And one of those experiences, I was on a plane on 9/11 and ended up being stranded for a week in a city I wasn't supposed to be in. Long story short, I saw the most amazing kindness and love from strangers that I've never experienced like that before. And I'm not saying that we want to have trauma. What I'm saying is that when we go through something and we can collectively see what's human about each other and support each other in that, no matter where we're from, you can see some real beauty show up. It's like being able to see the light in the darkness. We don't want more darkness, but when it's there, we actually have an opportunity to do some real good in this world and make a real positive difference.
Here's an email from Karen. She says, I am a sufferer of this disheartening condition, Trump trauma. I cried on election day. I have felt sick to my stomach at Trump's actions and words. I'm stunned at the speeches that he gave at the CIA, the National Prayer Breakfast, and Black History Month. I feel embarrassment and a deep sense of shame at what the world thinks of our government. I have a hard time sleeping. I spend too much time on Twitter helping with the resistance, and I generally feel exhausted. I can literally feel the dark depression and that he keeps ranting on about. A response to Karen.
Yeah, I think Karen just summed up what so many people are feeling. And, you know, I feel like I want everybody to just respect and appreciate that there is a reason for this. These aren't crazy people, you know, who are over dramatizing because they want to be heard, you know, noticed. This isn't, you know, people acting out to get attention. I think a lot of times we want to minimize it as that. This is mob behavior. You know, people are really experiencing some uncomfort and some depression and some anxiety. And I think what Karen touched on is one of the challenges a lot of these people are feeling, which is when it shifts into shame, when it shifts into, you know, this person's actions are a reflection of my own because I'm in this country, and what does that mean for international affairs? And I think, again, if we're paying too much attention, she even mentioned kind of being addicted to Twitter, we can go there wanting to be heard. We can go there saying, I've got to fight this. I've got to be heard. And yes, you do want to do that, but also recognize your own limitations for how much of that you can do. It's almost like, you know, you can overdo it on things that are good for you. You can take too many omega-3 vitamins. You can, you know, do too much focusing on the positive and take risks that aren't healthy for you. So there's too much of everything. And so in this case, if you're experiencing that deep depression, I would really encourage everyone to seek some professional support, to work with a counselor on that who can, first of all, make sure you're safe, make sure that you're going to take care of your most important basic needs, and can help guide you through that, being able to speak to somebody, really be heard about where those connections are, you know, triggering some of that trauma for you, and start to create a new story for yourself. Creating a new story doesn't mean you get rid of the old one. It just means that you allow yourself something new to focus on. And maybe it's even saying that I'm going to give myself 1 hour in the morning and 1 hour in the afternoon to just be heard as much as I can. And by the way, you can go into apps now and schedule all sorts of stuff. You could spend an hour on Hootsuite scheduling posts all day long that you don't actually have to be posting. And what that means is you're getting your voice out there, but you don't need to get caught up in the debate. You don't need to be bringing in all the negative information. Allow yourself some respite from that. Allow yourself to rest and nurture with some positive. Get in a support group that's positive and nourishing for you. And even in these times, do something that just feels good for you. Watch a funny movie. Go to a movie by yourself, go to a comedy club, you know, roll up in the covers if you need to, read a good book, light some good candles that are expensive, but do the things that help you to restore your own energy. Because, you know, essentially life is, I don't want to say life is a fight, but life is a challenge. It's always going to be a challenge. And in fact, if we had no stress in our life, we would have no reason to adapt and grow stronger. And we know that stress can be good for us. If we can take personal control, if we can make sure we have enough energy to deal with the capacity needs and you know, establish community that's going to be supportive and nourishing. Do speak out. Just try to do so in a positive, peaceful way and continue to find ways to take care of yourself.
Feroz in Madison, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, what is your point?
The two points that I wanted to make is that I am an immigrant from India. I'm a Muslim. And the one thing that has really distressed me in recent days is the things that my 11-year-old son has been asking me. Mm-hmm. And the second thing that I would like to point out is the it really, really pains me to see how a lot of otherwise nice, ordinary people have been influenced by the propaganda and the misinformation that has been spread out, the stereotypes about Muslims, the stereotypes about immigrants coming over and taking our jobs. So I'll take your comments off the air. Thank you.
Because we only have about a minute or so, Heidi, a brief reaction, please.
Yeah, I just want to really appreciate the statements that were made. And that is another example of something that's happening that in many ways is feeling out of control because we can't immediately change, you know, negative things that are being said. But we certainly can try to focus on being more loving and more accepting and more embracing of our community. And for those who want to spread more of that, realize that love spreads as well. We don't have to constantly be talking about stress. We can also be putting our energy into spreading more love and gratitude and appreciation for each other.
Boy, that might be a great place to leave it, but I have one more minute for you to give our listeners a takeaway when it comes to dealing with this.
Yeah, I think, as I mentioned in the beginning, the three steps I would go back to, even in dealing with my own stress, is awareness, appreciation, and adjustment. So just to be aware of how you're feeling and what is it really? You know, we don't even really know how to define stress for the most part. What does stress mean to you? What are you really feeling when you're feeling that tension? And the clearer you can get on identifying it, the more you can appreciate why it's there. Stress is actually a good thing. It's designed to help us survive. And yet if it's not working for you, you can make adjustments. And some of those adjustments include taking personal control, investing in yourself, and strengthening your community and getting social support. We know that that can dramatically change your relationship with stress.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Joy.
Heidi Hanna, Executive Director of the American Institute of Stress, author of Stressaholic, 5 Steps to Transform Your Relationship with Stress. And the article on dealing with Trump trauma is posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Thanks to Naeja Ellison for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.